Hello and welcome to a bonus edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. This is the quick hit following the Missouri game, and we've got to come up with a better name for that. But you'll recall this is a bonus edition where we're going to spend just a couple of minutes hitting some highlights of the game that just completed. Last night's game, I was watching on a delay and it ended up being pretty late, so I'm recording Sunday morning. Going to hit some highlights. When you get the full show, obviously there's going to be some repeated content. It's sort of the nature of what this is, getting something out quick and dirty. But I want to give some quick highlights, and some of these we'll elaborate on a little bit more when we record Monday morning. But I think I've got five things I want to touch upon. First, I was surprised that the Alabama offense attacked the middle of the Missouri defense, especially early in the game. If you think about the first 10, 12, 15 scripted plays, quite a number of those went against the middle of the Missouri defense, really the teeth of their defense. Missouri fans who really are not pleased with their roster or have low expectations for the season, they're proud of the middle of their defense. It's a lot of seniors across the defensive tackle positions, nose guard positions, an All-America middle linebacker who really played well in Nick Bolton. And then their safeties, Gillespie certainly one, are really big hitters, and they're stout in the secondary, in the middle. And so at all three levels, the middle of the Tiger defense is stout. And early on, Alabama attacked that, both with the running game as well as the short passing game, with sort of the inward slants across the middle. I know that Smitty took quite a shot on one of the plays. One of those plays from one of those safeties. So I was surprised that Alabama attacked in that way. If you take the time to watch some Missouri games over the course of the season, what I bet you'll find is teams attacking them on the outside. And certainly Alabama did that, and certainly Alabama stretched the field. But to start the game, the scripted plays, Alabama attacked the middle disproportionately, and I thought that was certainly interesting. I think that's a little bit of gamesmanship from Saban there. I think that Saban knows that he's managing a season, not a game, and he wants to see against one of the more stout middle defenses that we may face, certainly for the next couple of weeks, can we compete? What if we have a team that has an outstanding secondary with that type of stout defense? Can we impose our will in the middle of the field? And so I think there was a little bit of, We know what we can do on the outside. We know they have a freshman starting in a cornerback position. In the course of the game, their other corner went down. So we know that we can attack them deep. We know that we can attack them on the edges. Let's challenge our guys to rise to the occasion of the teeth, the middle of this Missouri defense. And so I thought that was interesting, and certainly we met with some success there. Couple of drop balls, but I think for the by and large, we could have sustained just that attack over the course of the game. Item two, offensive playmakers, and I think we know what we have here, and it was just good to see it. So Smitty, Waddle, and Najee each had, in their own way, outstanding games. They confirmed, which is what you want in a week one, they confirmed that they're as good as we remember them being, and that as weapons, they're ready to roll. Waddle made a couple outstanding plays. I think he validated our choice as Alabama's leading Heisman candidate. And, of course, Najee rolled out 100 yards. He looked really good in sort of phone book type situations. Even at his size, his quickness, his burst, he didn't show his explosive speed because he didn't have the opportunity to. But his vision, sort of quick change of direction. We saw him perform like a much smaller back, if you will, in those inside runs. And so that was good to see. And of course the physicality and his size manifest as well. So that's good to see from an offensive playmakers. We'll blow this topic out because I think we're only going to get better in this regard. And there's a couple of names and players that we want to speak to. There were points left on the field, and we'll certainly talk about that. But from an offensive playmaker standpoint, I think the Tide looks really good. You can't talk about offensive playmakers without item three, and that's Mac Jones. And we'll probably unpack this a little bit more as we get into the fuller show. But I just want to talk about how pleased I was with Mac Jones's performance. I think we all should be. He's not a Tua. So let's just acknowledge that and sort of get beyond that. But what he is he's a guy that can lead us. And he's a guy that can lead the Tide to quite an impressive season. We saw that in spurts last season, and we certainly saw it last night against Missouri. He plays well when under pressure. And I think Blackledge was spot on. I don't want to take credit for it, but I certainly agree that Mac Jones moves in the pocket, and it's subtle movement, but it's movement to evade, it's movement to get on platform to pass. And so he's not gonna run necessarily unless he absolutely has to. He's not a running threat, nor is he a statue. So he's mobile enough to step away from the pressure, find his platform, and throw the ball. And he's not afraid to stand in and take a hit to deliver the ball. And we certainly saw a touchdown pass that was a great pass to Waddle down the field, but he absolutely got leveled as he released the ball. And so I think that's great. I think we'll also unpack the pressure that he's going to receive from Bryce Young. I think Bryce acquitted himself in his first collegiate action, and that is a pressure that Mac Jones will feel over the course of the season, which I think will only improve his level of play. Flip the field, item four, the defensive playmakers. And again, this is not dissimilar from the offensive playmakers. Just the guys that just burst, that just popped, from watching the TV. It's the kind of players that your mama would have said, I don't know football, but those are guys to watch. And so Dylan Moses, I think he performed as we expected, as we remember, and he really looked good. We saw the communication that he was able to provide, the alignment. We definitely saw some of that. And then just his stepping up and making plays, I think was phenomenal. Christian Harris performed as, I would say, as we predicted in the sort of the Alabama football podcast world. We think that Dylan Moses is going to be his cheat code. Not only has Christian Harris improved from his experience last year, is sort of a standalone event, but he's going to play better lined up next to Dylan. And the two of them together, I think, are going to be quite a tandem at the middle linebacker position. And I think we saw that against Missouri. I think we're going to see more of that, but we certainly saw that with a clarity, and again, both learned and directed from Dylan. We saw him perform with a greater level of confidence, with a clarity of his assignment, and he certainly executed. So that was fun to see. And then Will Anderson, I think he performed as we hoped that he would. The hype probably was a little much, but I think that he performed very well and demonstrated himself as an explosive player. And so he's still going to be a little bit raw. He's still going to be refined. He's still going to get better every week. And so if you take the raw material that we saw from Will Anderson against Missouri and you project that out on a level of development over a 10, 11 weeks, 12 weeks, if you count the SEC championship and the bye week, and you project that out, this guy's going to be outstanding. And it's only his freshman year. So I think that's exciting when we think about defensive playmakers. And then for the fifth item, last item that we'll cover in this sort of reaction show, but what really jumped out to me in the secondary, and there's probably a number of things, but what really jumped out to me was Josh Jobe. I think he acquitted himself well in not his first start, but certainly starting the season as a starter. He started against Michigan last season when Diggs opted out. But I think Josh Jobe acquitted himself. And there's a couple of plays, and I'm going to focus on one. There's one play, and we're going to unpack this tomorrow. So you'll hear this in the larger show again. But just a nuancey thing that I saw that really stokes my fires for Josh Jobe. There was a play where they went after they were targeting his man. I don't know that it was necessarily an attack on Jobe, but they were definitely going to that receiver. And Jobe was in really good position. He was in sort of the hip pocket for the receiver. And so you give him kudos, Josh Jobe, kudos for that. He didn't, I don't know if it was his eyes or his reaction, he didn't quite play the ball as well as he could have. He had an opportunity to bat it away. He did not. The ball got past him into the receiver's hands. And you could reason that the receiver should have caught the ball. You could also make a case that the close presence of Job was enough to distract the receiver. And so, you know, which is more true than the other? I don't know. I think they're both true. I think the receiver should have caught the ball. If you're arguing the offensive side, you would have said absolutely the receiver should catch this ball. If you're arguing the defensive side, then you can clearly make a case that the defender was in position to disrupt, to affect the pass catch. And I think there's probably truth in both. What you'll see a lot of times is that the defender in that situation sort of preen. And they'll make, they'll stand up and celebrate and didn't catch that pass, incomplete. They'll sort of make the motion with the official or for the official and they'll celebrate and they'll over celebrate when the reality is you may not have made the play, but that's what DBs do. And so what was interesting is that is not what Job did. And in fact, if you watch him and the camera caught him, he was pissed off. He knew that he should have got his hand on the ball. I won't go so far as to say he should have intercepted it because I think that's too much, but he definitely should have batted the ball. And I think he knows that. And he was pissed off that he didn't. And I don't like that. It reminds me, it is almost kind of a cheesy line, but Ray Lewis said, you know, pissed off for greatness, right? And there's a little bit of that that came out from Josh Job in that play, that he was mad that the play was not made. And he went to the bench and you could see him, mouth a little bit that his displeasure. And so I thought that was great. I enjoyed seeing that because that's something that he'll carry with him. I mean, it didn't give up a play. It didn't give up points. It didn't give up yardage. It didn't give up a first down. And so from that sense, it was perfect. From the other sense, it's something that he's going to carry with him. He's going to watch the film and look for him to make those kinds of plays, to bat those kinds of balls, and to be more proficient in that regard on a go-forward position. So that'll be certainly something to watch. Certainly something, sort of a deeper detail, if you will, that we saw some from Josh Job, and I think we're going to see some build on that. So those are five quick things that we saw at the game as we laid our pillow to head to pillow last night. Those are the things kind of bouncing around our head. Probably talk about a little bit about the landscape of the SEC, the other things that we saw, and in a relative way. Alabama's margin of victory, we probably would want a lot more points on our side and a lot less points on their side. But if we ground ourselves on a basis of reality, and we use other teams across the SEC as a relative measuring stick, then we should be damn pleased. Look at what Oklahoma did. I don't want to compare ourselves to Texas, but another big name program that went to a game that they should have handled more handily. Look at what Georgia and Arkansas did early. What's interesting about the Georgia game, I end up unpacking this a little bit more now, but if you look at our score, the Alabama score relative to the Georgia score, the final scores are close. They're not that different. But the story, the narrative of how they got to that point, the trip from 0-0 to the final score, I enjoyed our ride better than theirs. I'll put it to you that way. And of course, LSU, I think they're getting – I think they're getting some payback on all the voodoo promises they made last year. But hey, those are future topics. Those are different topics. We want to stay in our lane and talk about quick hit things from the Alabama-Missouri game. Those are five quick hitters. Again, we'll probably repeat some of these tomorrow as we get into the full blast show. But the idea of this bonus is get something to you guys quick without all of the production cycles and scheduling sort of snafus that we have on our side that sometimes lead us to getting later shows. So here we are. Let us know how you like this. Is this truly a bonus? Let us know that. And so we can refine the bonuses. We want the bonuses to be meaningful because we want more and more folks to sign up. And where we're standing right now, I think there's a lot of room for growth in that area. So if you enjoy what we do, share the podcast just anyways. If you enjoy the bonus stuff, then share that as well. We try to make it hopefully a good bargain for everyone who participates. And this year, we hope that we're sort of double and triple the level of bargain. So if you have any questions for us, don't hesitate to reach out. And if there are things that we can do to be more informative or just better and more interesting, let us know that as well. With that, this is another edition, bonus edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Roll Tide.